Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all on this cold day. I know last week I made a mention that it's never snowed in Connecticut. Have you noticed what happened in Buffalo? Oh, good old Buffalo. Please turn with me in your Bible to the letter to the Ephesians. I am going to read verses 15 through 23. On Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. This is one long sentence in the original Greek. I think Paul was getting excited. That's what he just kept. It was like comma, 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 and just ran on. And it's a prayer. It's simply that. It's a prayer that includes a lot of different things. And today's message is only going to come out of verses 15 through 17, and Lord willing, I'll be able to continue on in the weeks ahead. Brothers and sisters, hear the word of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, and that will be Christ, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance to the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of Christ's power toward us who believe, according to the work of his great might, that he, that would be the Father, worked in Christ when the Father raised Christ from the dead and seated Christ at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he, the Father, put all things under Christ's feet and gave Christ as head over all things to the church, which is Christ's body, the fullness of Christ who fills all in all. Well, may the Lord be praised through the proclamation truly of his word. I'm going to ask you to pull out in your bulletin, the bulletin stuffer. I had already handed this out once weeks and weeks ago, and this is my outline that I'm following that's here. I highlighted what would be today's message on the inside with a little yellow. And it's a prayer of thanksgiving. And I am going to do 15 through 17, a prayer for wisdom and revelation in Christ. When we're talking about wisdom, it means once you are informed, you make the right decisions. You make wise decisions. That was Paul's prayer. Revelation is not talking about future events here. It means now you understand. It's been revealed. A truth has been revealed to you. It's the revelation, the understanding of truth. Behind all this, in summary of the message today, what we're talking about is Paul has been speaking to brothers and sisters. He's writing back to them. And he says to them, I have just spoken to you and written to you in verses 3 down through 14. I spoke to you about the Father in heaven in the first verses, and now he was being merciful to you, and he has chosen us before the foundation of the world. He says, I have sent the Son, who is in agreement with this plan before the foundation of the world, to redeem you out of your sinful state. And to assure that happening and that completing that, I'm going to send the third person of the Trinity, which was verses 13 and 14, and he will come and indwell you. Now, we know in the Old Testament that was only for the prophets, the priests and whoever was to be king. And we saw all the examples of that. Now he's saying, now it's you. You will see, you will have that. And he's saying, now I am praying this, that you will have the wisdom of knowing this truth and that have been revealed to you. You know it now. You're informed. And that's what he's talking about. And as we start, I'd like you to notice with me that he's talking to friends. He's talking to people whom he loves, that he's responding to that. These were people back in Ephesus. Remember, he started a church there. He started a school there in Ephesus. And he knows them intimately. And something tells me he must have been one of the most preeminent professors that ever really existed. Just phenomenal, phenomenal guy. And he loves them dearly. And we know from the book of Acts, chapter 19, where it tells us that he had spent 2 years teaching them the word of God in a hall, a rented hall, by the name of Tyrannus. So I don't know about you guys. I wish I could have signed up for classes just to listen to audit the class. Can you imagine what must have rolled out of this guy's mouth? And he remembers these people. He's in his prayer now. We'll hear. He loves them. He remembers them. He knows them intimately. He remembers the way they rolled their eyes or, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Well, because what has happened is, as many of us, we were informed of something and come to find out later that wasn't the whole truth. It was part of it. It was a part of that, and now he's going, okay, well, you got part of it, but no, that's not the way it works. And so now he's saying, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you will have the spiritual wisdom to understand the truth that you do have, and that the revelation, the revealing of God's word to you will go, oh, that's what his prayer is about. That's what he's starting with in these verses. And here, I'll read verse 15 again, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. And we'll work through this. We'll take our time today. For this reason, and when he says that, he's referring to the previous verses 3 through 14. For this reason, about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love toward all the saints. So after hearing about the faithful believers who have continued to remain faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul could not contain himself. He remembers them personally. In the same way you remember family and loved ones, people you've worked with. I remember people that I worked with when I first started as an apprentice when I was 18. People I admired and people I don't want to remember. You remember them. And he remembers these people from just a couple of years ago. And so as he starts, he says, for this reason, the reason being in verse that he talked about the Father in heaven, that he is to be glorified, that was Ephesians 3 through 6, that Christ has redeemed you, you realize that he was under no obligation to redeem anyone, but he was being merciful in redeeming you. And then in verses 13 and 14, again, this is the theme that's going through Ephesians. That now you are in the family of God. You're loved by the Father in heaven. Christ took his precious blood and cleansed you. And the evidence of that now is the Holy Spirit is speaking to you when you read the Word of God. It makes sense in your mind. And that's why when many of us read, and I even hear people many times saying, why don't they just know? I don't get it. Well, what you're missing and what I missed as a young believer was the non-believer, when they read the Word of God, it's like reading just another book, a narrative, a fiction or whatever. It's just information. But for us, it speaks life. It speaks breath into our heart and into our mind. And the reason it does that is because the third person of the Trinity is opening up our mind and our hearts to it. It becomes real. And so after reminding these people whom he loves, that he had taught over that two-year period or almost three-year period, he's excited to hear about them. So what's he excited to hear about? Well, notice, we'll read the verse again, and I'm going to ask you to glean this with me. Glean this with me. Listen as he's hearing this. For this reason, because I have heard. What did he hear? Of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. Someone, we don't know who, but someone came from Ephesus to Rome while he was in jail and passed on to the Apostle Paul what was happening to that church, that group of believers, those people just like you and me, about what they were doing and how they were acting and what was their conduct and character like following the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. Think about it for a minute. That he heard, first, that they were faithful. What does that mean to you? Do you hear following, I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind? The first great commandment. Do you hear that? Your faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were following the first commandment. They continued as faithful believers following the Lord, praising him, giving him the glory and honor that is rightfully his. And then we hear the second commandment. And your love toward all the saints. What's the second great commandment? To love your neighbor as yourself. So what did he hear? He's responding to him. For this reason, I'm telling you about the Trinity. And because of I have also heard someone say that you have loved the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And now you're loving all the other brothers and sisters in Ephesus as yourself. What he's hearing is these people whom he loves are still growing in grace. They're still finding their encouragement and their joy in the Word of God. They're being faithful. They heard it, and now they know it. They love one another, and it's an evidence of them going out of their way for one another and doing those things which are pleasing in His sight. What does this do in your mind? What does this do in your mind? When you know that you heard somebody that you may have led to the Lord, or somebody you've been praying for, someone you care for, and then you're hearing whatever, that something has turned. It's turned towards their favor. They're no longer having financial problems, and you've been praying for them for a long time that they'd turn the corner. Maybe it was physical problems, all this on the physical side. What about them spiritually? They've been having problems. They can't follow through. And they've heard someone say once something, and that's stuck in their mind as the main theme, and it's wrong. And then all of a sudden they come to you and say, man, I finally understood that. Well, I know that happened to me after 10 years of being a believer, to turn the corner. And this is what he's thinking. It's verse 16. This is what happens when you know and you love somebody and you care for them. Verse 16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. My friends, you and I need to know that the weapons of the Christian's warfare, they are spiritual. And they are rooted in prayer. Prayer is the Christian's most powerful resource. prayer is supposed to permeate your life and my life. We are to practice prayer in season and out of season. When things are going good, or what we perceive to be going good, and when things are going horribly wrong. I don't know why, but why do we seem more focused when things are going horribly wrong? Instead of enjoying the hilltop experiences and being even closer in prayer in a greater relationship. The think of it a moment. In this letter, the Apostle Paul was writing back to his friends, his believers in Ephesus, and he was encouraging them by saying, I have never forgotten about you. In fact, I do not cease thinking about you and praying for you. In fact, I remember you whenever I pray to our Heavenly Father. Have you ever encouraged somebody with that? Something as simple as that. You're talking with them on the phone and you say, hey, I'm praying for you. I love you. I'm thinking of you all the time. You're always on my mind. Just a handful of words. And what do? They pass on how much you love them, showing how much you care for them. And you're saying, I know who has tomorrow. It's in the hands of our great God and Lord Jesus Christ. And we can just simply say these things, and I mean heartfelt towards them, because we truly do care. Paul cared for those people. He hasn't seen them in 4 years. He's imprisoned himself. And yet, what do we hear coming rolling out of his heart? What's rolling out of his heart? You're not hearing, oh, I have a horrible day today. Oh, you won't believe they fed me fish. No, he's saying, I'm thinking of you. Even while he's in this condition, in jail, I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you. I'm holding you up before the face of God. I'm going to ask you to turn with me a few pages farther in Ephesians 6. It's Ephesians chapter 6. The reason is there's several different prayers in this book, this letter, and this is the last prayer that we're seeing that Paul has. But if you remember, in chapter 6 of Ephesians, it's talking to you and me. Paul's talking to the friends at Ephesus to put on the armor of God. And he goes through a list of different things. But this is the last thing he mentions about the armor of God. Notice what it says. It's Ephesians chapter 6, and it's verse 18. This is on this list of things that you and I, but this is the one, because we're talking about prayer today. This is that last piece. It's armor. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. He says, praying at all times in the Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, with all your prayer and supplication. To that end, and then he tells us what? That says, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, for all the believers. Here again, the Apostle Paul was reminding his friends back in Ephesus about being faithful. You, as an individual, be on your knees, go before the throne of grace, pour your heart out to where it really is being heard, to someone who will respond to your prayers. The sovereign himself, he hears you. I think at times, and I know I do, I'm guilty of it, I feel like sometimes when I'm praying, it's just bouncing off the ceiling. Well, why is that? Well, my mind and my heart is focused in the wrong place. This is when I turn to the book of Romans. I'll read the verse. It's Romans 8:26, and it says, "Likewise, it's the Spirit," referring to the Holy Spirit, "helps us in our weakness," when we're being distracted or our mind is being twisted to think something incorrectly. "For we do not know what to pray for as we are, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." That's you and me wrestling in our day-to-day life. Whatever may come upon your mind, whatever may be that special sauce or twist that's going to come and somehow mess you up, the Holy Spirit's going to be there. The third person of the Trinity is going to be there for you. And that is what is needed. And I want you to notice in our Ephesians 6:18 passage a couple of things here. He says, all of us need to keep spiritually alert with all perseverance. Perseverance here means you and I are being persistent. You're being tenacious. You're determined. You see, we have to emotionally and mentally and spiritually be resolved to finish the race well. I know I kid with some of you when we do Bible studies, because we're all the old gray hairs, that we talk about finishing well. I kid with Jan that I said, you know, I've only got 3 or 4 more years to go because everybody in my family never made it to 75. And now Jan's end of the family, they've made it to 103. So she's, woohoo. Anyways, I don't know, is it better to go home to be with the Lord or hang around here for another 40, 50 years? I don't know. Well, anyways, it all depends on how you want to talk about it. But anyways, you and I need to be alert. And you need to persevere. And you need to watch out for one another. How do we do that? Well, like today, Sunday morning. After service today, some of us are able to hang around and share the good week, the bad week, the aha week. And that is where we talk with one another and we can encourage one another. Mention how horribly wrong everything went. And so someone will listen and say, oh, wow. And maybe they share a passage or a word with you and said, oh, well, I'll be praying for you during this week. They're showing they're caring for you. And that's having, as we saw in our other passage, having our love for one another. That's the love of the saints. And so that is where in our passage also, he talks about supplication. Well, what is the word supplication? I know what. Do you use it all the time? I'm supplicating for you. I don't know about you guys. I don't use that kind of vocabulary. But what it's really meaning is you're crying. You're emotionally crying for someone. You're supplicating for them in prayer. You're emotionally involved. It isn't just like, oh, okay, thank you. I'll pray for you. Okay. And then somewhere along the way during the week, I said, you'll be reading something. I said, oh, yeah, I forgot about it. I should be praying for them. No, it's you're involved. You're involved. It isn't just okay, I just happened to remember that. You're actually sincerely involved, and you're praying for them. And you're going before the throne of grace, and you're crying out for that brother or that sister in the Lord. And you're doing it because the Holy Spirit has laid that burden upon your heart. You're doing your, I hate to call it a job, but your responsibility before the throne of grace. And Paul is saying that is what's going on. Paul is saying, hey, I remember when we were there, I was teaching in the school and you asked me all those, oh, wow, those were weird questions. But he answered them and now he's saying, I care for you. I'm bringing you up before the throne of grace. So notice what he says in verse 17, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. He says, I'm asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you, to you, and then he talks about two things, which we are talking about today. Spirit of wisdom, and which would be the spirit of revelation and the knowledge of, and that would be Christ. It says him. Paul prayed for his old friends and the new believers back in Ephesus. He prayed for them to receive the great spiritual wisdom and revelation. I'll do the spiritual wisdom first. And I'm going to ask you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we will be looking at verses 6 through 12. Spiritual wisdom refers to the work of the Holy Spirit, the secret work that is going on behind the scenes in your life, in every Christian's life. Spiritual wisdom is the believer receiving insight. The Holy Spirit is giving you insight into God's Word and then learning how to use it daily. That's the spiritual wisdom. He's giving you insight from the truth so that you know, and then ahead of you, when you run into a concern, a problem, you're prepared. Jan and I used to kid, when we lived back in Saratoga Springs, New York, we were doing some Bible studies, and I was always wondering why I had to run into the brick wall first and then find the Bible verses to help me. And Jan would always somehow be reading and studying, and she would have it, and then like a week or two later, the brick wall showed up, and she knew how to make the door and go through it instead of run into it. But that was our running joke now was over 40 years ago. But each of us learn differently. Each of us are made aware differently. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit that helps you to learn the information and open your eyes so that you will learn how to respond to our daily problem. I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I will start in verse 6, where the Apostle Paul is explaining this principle a little bit clearer. Yet among the mature, so he's talking about people who are in the know, believers who are in the know, we do impart wisdom. And then notice what he says, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age. So it is the idea of how mechanically informed you are. As in, I can be a better farmer, or I can be a better mechanic, I can be a better mason. That's not the wisdom of that we're talking about. You hear it? It's not of this age. Because if you're relying on that, what's the last part of verse 6 tell you? Of the rulers of this age, and who are doomed to pass away. It's not this wisdom that the world is passing on. But notice what verse 7 says, but we, that would be believers, impart a secret and a hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages. When did he decree this before the ages? Before the foundation of the world. Remember, that's what he did in Ephesians, in his letter to the Ephesians. He says, "In the God the Creator, before the foundation of the world, was showing you to be merciful." Now he's saying there's wisdom and knowledge to be understood that was set before he created everything. And all this was to what? Does he finish up with verse 7? For our, that's the believer's, glory. The wisdom now is for you to go, oh, I know what's going on. I know what's spiritually going on. And then he goes back to, again, another example in verse 8. None of the rulers of this age, Now, he's talking after the first advent in his time period. Understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So you see what you're saying? Did they have mechanical information? Did they have growing information? The Romans were phenomenal, built some of the greatest roads that they're still existing. They're still using some of them. Imagine that. They did it right the first time. But he's not talking about mechanical or chemical. He's talking about a relationship with God. And so what does he do? He quotes a passage out of Isaiah 64:4, which refers to, and I'll read it in a minute, but God never fails to meet those of true faith. In the Isaiah 64 passage, it's about those who have failed God, but God has never failed his people. And so he quotes this passage out of Isaiah 64:4. What no eye has ever seen, nor no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. Before the foundation of the world, the people of the world don't understand what's going on, but God knows what's going on, and he's sharing that with his people. This was referring to God's eternal plan, his redeeming a people for his own possession, giving of the Holy Spirit so that you and I will have spiritual eyes that are enlightened. Notice what he goes on to say then in verse 10. These things, these truths, God has revealed to us. And then he says how it's being done. It's through the Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. The third person of the Trinity knows what the Father is thinking, what the Son is thinking, and what he's thinking. He's the only one that knows what the whole Trinity is thinking, as in that way. So we don't know that. But isn't it interesting? But the Holy Spirit knows that. And now he's going to contrast this. In verse 11, for who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? This is my example. You're laying at bed at night and your head's on the pillow and you're thinking of all the stuff that happened during the day. Who else knows what you're thinking? It's only you. And that's what he's saying. That spirit, your consciousness, is the only one knows what your thoughts are. And it's the same thing is true with the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit knows what the Trinity is thinking. So I'll finish the sentence. It's verse 11. So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Listen to that one, because you're going to hear something in the last verse. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but what have we received? The Spirit who is from God. And then what are we going to catch now? That we might what? Understand the things freely given to us by God. That's through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is revealing to the believer what God is thinking. We have, in the phrases, the mind of God. It's a shorthand for saying, as you and I read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who knows what the purpose, the Father's purpose was, which was, remember, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, that he had a purpose before the foundation of the world. He is revealing that, God's thoughts, to you and me. We know what an almighty, sovereign, powerful God is thinking. Now, do we actually know what his thought is right at this particular moment? Well, no, but we know his purposes as we read the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is revealing that truth to you and me, as now we can understand what God is pleased with and what God is not pleased with. Because we know the thoughts of God, because the Holy Spirit is revealing that to you and me while we spend time reading the Word of God. He's opening, he's enlightening our eyes. He's opening our ears. He's revealing it to our minds. He's changing our minds and our hearts. And so what does he do? What does he do? The other word that I wanted us to see had to do in that Ephesians passage about spiritual revelation. He says he's going to give you spiritual wisdom and spiritual revelation. Spiritual revelation here simply means that you have a better knowledge, a deeper knowledge, a clearer understanding of who God is. What the Father's purpose is, that's what we saw, remember, in Ephesians 3 through 6. What the Son's work is of redeeming, verses 7 through 12. And then what we see, what the work of the Holy Spirit is, the indwelling. See, it's all one theme that we now know the mind of God. Paul prayed that his friends and those whom he loved back in Ephesus would need to be informed of these truths. And as they are informed of this revelation, this becoming aware of who God is, what your needs are, what my needs are, and as we go to the Word, we know how to respond to the circumstances that will you and I will be facing on the good days and on the bad days when everything is going wrong. I'm going to mention something here that Russ had taught us last week, and I really liked it. I scribbled it down, and I actually, you get those little yellow ticklers that are sticky back things? I have a hutch, and I stuck it right up there, and I think, I got to remember this. And it fit well with this message today. And some of you didn't have an opportunity to hear it, and I'll mention it now. It was called cultural accommodation. Some of you might want to scribble that down. Cultural accommodation. And the other part has to do with confessional affirmation. I'll repeat these so that those of you who want it. Cultural accommodation and confessional affirmation. These are two opposites that you and I are wrestling with in the world today. Cultural accommodation means how do you, as a believer, accommodate the world's ideas in your daily life? How do you accommodate the world's ideas into your daily life? How much do you follow this? I have a horrible example, and that was the old McDonald's. You deserve a break today, so get up and get away, and going to McDonald's. Well, do you deserve a break today? No, that's cultural accommodation. You get the idea? You're following what the world says. I remember one that was the one about the girls doing the idea of bleaching their hair or dyeing their hair, and it says only their hairdresser knows for sure. Why? It was cultural accommodation. You need this tool. Well, no, you don't, but they want to sell it, so a cultural accommodation. Well, the flip side of this is we still live in this world, don't we? And we still need to eat, wear clothing, still need to work, have a job. So where do we culturally accommodate? Now, this is the flip side. Confessional affirmation. Confessional affirmation. How much Do believers hold on to the Word of God in our daily lives? How much do you hold on to the Word of God in the workplace? How much do you hold on to the Word of God when you're with family during the holidays, which are coming up? Paul was saying that he prayed for them to know the difference between what is right and wrong in the world around them by knowing more about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so that you and I would know the difference between cultural accommodation and confessional affirmation. Does that make sense? So when you spend time in prayer, you will be wise enough to know the difference so that you will be informed, revealed, revelation enough from the Word to be informed on how I can respond, how I should respond, and maybe sometimes we don't respond. All depending on the wisdom of knowing the moment. We have become culturally accommodating to the world around us. I was thinking of the last years of things that I've been doing while I heard that when Russ mentioned that last week. And I thought, wow, where's my head been? Things that I was thinking are all right. I'm going, huh, that wasn't really right, was it, John? Why is it 20/20 hindsight is always clearer? Do we know what we believe? And is Pastor John wise enough to know the difference? Are you wise enough to know the difference? You know what's the difference? We spend time in the Word. The Holy Spirit's showing us what's right and wrong. And then we start to apply it. We wisely respond to the moment. Sometimes we call it witnessing. Sometimes we call it evangelizing. Sometimes we call it counseling. This is all part of the Apostle Paul's first prayer in this section. There's more to it than this. But I'd like to end this morning by actually reading a prayer in chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3. And hopefully, all of us can take this to heart. As I was working on my message, I thought, John, you got to apply this more and more in your daily life. And so I will end with it here for all of us. It's Ephesians chapter 3. And I will start reading at verse 14, and I will read down through 21. So hear the word of the Lord. For this reason, I, that's Paul, I bow my knees before the Father. Ephesians 3:14. Well, that's supplication. He's bowing his knees before the Father. From whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. That according to the riches of his, the Father's glory, he may grant you, that would be us here today, believers, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, in your inner being. That's you when you're thinking thoughts. And things are rattling around in your head, ideas. And then there's, so that when this happens, something is going to come about. Notice what verse 17 starts with, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's the first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. With a result, that you, being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, which is width, length and depth, or height and depth, and to know. That means you're aware the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. That will be directed towards you. How much Christ loves you. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. All the encouragement that comes from knowing what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are doing and have done for you. And so he ends with this wonderful ending. Now to him, that would be the Father, who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power, that would be of the Holy Spirit, at work within, and instead of us, I'll say you, that's working in you. He is working in you. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's children said, Amen.